So many scriptures that talk about how God lifts us up, how he carries us, how he's our help and our strength. Thank you, worship team, for sharing that music with us. I'm going to dismiss the kids at this time to go back to kids at the landing. So all the kids and teachers can go back. This morning when I woke up, I was curious to see if there would be any leaves left on our trees. When I drove down our driveway and our hill out of the woods, the road literally was a blanket of leaves. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. But the most excited thing about it was that there were still beautiful leaves on the trees. Now, I know some of you are thinking, you are crazy because all those leaves are going to fall in my yard, wherever you live. And that's true, but I don't rake. I get the leaf blower and blow all the leaves up into the woods and let nature take its course up there. But just the beauty of this time of the year, I love it. A lot of people don't necessarily like fall because winter is coming. But in all the seasons, we see that God is faithful. And he reminds us of his creative goodness when we see the beauty around us. There's a couple of psalms, or not whole psalms, but verses from psalms that I want to read to you to start off our thought for today. Psalm 119, verse 76 says, "May your unfailing love be my comfort according to the promise of your servant." And then Isaiah 49, verse 13 says, "Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." One of the realities of life for every single one of us is that pain and suffering and troubles and affliction are part of life in this fallen world. And it's a part of life that permeates every single one of our lives in some degree or another. There are some times when the hurt we feel might be part of experiences that have touched us, like leaving a loved one, losing a loved one. And when we have that pain in our life, it's real. And sometimes it's hard to let go of that. Often it's easier for us to keep our pain at our sides, where it almost acts like a shield that shelters us from what's going on around us, and sometimes even gives us a sense of identity. Sometimes that identity may be of someone who is suffering, or that identity may be that of a victim. And I have known people down through the years whose whole identity seems to be wrapped up in their sufferings and in their troubles. But I believe that Scripture gives us a different picture of pain and suffering and trouble. The world that we live in says you need to avoid suffering and pain and trouble at all cost. And so there are just, every other commercial on TV is for some kind of medication that I can never pronounce the name, and I hardly ever get what the commercial is unless somewhere in the fine print it tells you. We all have suffering and pain and trouble in this life, but God gives us a different picture of that. We know that it's universal. But we also know that Scripture tells us that God can work in our lives through our suffering and through our pain and through our difficulties and through our affliction. And often he uses our own suffering and our own troubles to help others. God's Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives through difficult times to help us use our hurt to help other people heal. Let's face it, ongoing pain and suffering are hard. We don't want to glorify that in any way. Everyone suffers somehow. It might be chronic pain, it might be a battle with cancer, it might be broken relationships, it might be some disability, it might be struggling against some besetting sin. Everyone suffers and struggles in some regard. And it's hard sometimes to live in a world that seems so full of futility and brokenness. We groan for the day when everything will be made right. And I love these verses. You can jot them down and read them later, but it's from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, and then in verse 22. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. In other words, someday we're going to look back and realize that even the worst of circumstances that we went through are nothing compared to the glory of God. And the creation, Paul writes, waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And going on down a couple verses, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So there's a sense of longing for that time when everything is going to be made right, when we're going to be changed and transformed, when God is going to change all of creation and make all things new. We know we live in a world of brokenness and pain and suffering. And we long for the day, like all creation longs for the day when those things will be made right. Suffering, interestingly, seems to be one of the great instruments in God's hands to continue to reveal to us, first of all, our dependence on Him, and secondly, our ultimate hope in Him. Despite our circumstances, we have hope. And pain is God's instrument in our lives to help us bring comfort to others. And if we let it, it can be that comfort to others. But a lot of times I think what happens in our lives is that the ongoing pain and the ongoing suffering isolates us from one another. We get sick of being the sick one. Or we get tired of being the one who's always worn out. And we don't like revealing our weakness, and so it's easy sometimes for us to withdraw when we're going through difficult times. But the truth of the scripture that we're going to study this morning is this: God receives glory when we let others into our lives to see His strength and our weakness. God receives glory when we don't act like we have it all together. God receives glory when we admit that God is the only one who's holding us together through the word of His Son and the ministry of His Spirit and the prayers of other people. But I think so often we put up a protective wall because we don't want people to see our struggles or our pain or our suffering. The Apostle Paul was somebody who, I'm a wimp compared to the Apostle Paul. And 2 Corinthians 11, when you read the list of things that he went through, it's crazy. It's crazy. Shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, left for dead. There's all these things that he went through. But he gets to the next chapter of 2 Corinthians, and he talks about this one thing. We don't really know what it is. He calls it a thorn in his flesh, some kind of affliction or suffering. And it's interesting because he's talked about all these other things, being shipwrecked, being beaten, being stoned, being imprisoned, being flogged. All of that, is in my mind, horrible, horrible suffering. But then he says, I've got this one thing, this one thorn in my flesh that three times I have pleaded with God to take it away. Three times. That's kind of a picture of like completeness or fullness. I want this. I need this so bad. I've been through all this other stuff, but there is this one thing, and we don't know really what it is in Scripture. And maybe that's a good thing, because if he'd said, if it's a bad hip or arthritis or something like that, we could say, oh, well, Paul, that's not a big deal. He doesn't tell us what it is. He pleads with God three times to take it away. And guess what happened? You know the story. God didn't do it. Paul's left with this pain in the side, this thorn in his flesh. And this is what he says. He said, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses or my suffering or my pain so that Christ's power may rest on me. And he goes on to say, that is for why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. And when I read that, I think, I don't want to delight in weakness and insults and hardness and hardships and persecution. I don't want any of that in my life. But Paul says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So our natural human instinct is that we don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't like pain. I don't want to experience pain. I don't want to have troubles. I mean, there may be a few people that have a sadistic bent that like to thrive on their pain. I don't know. I don't want to go through pain and suffering and troubles and sickness. But it's a reality. And the beauty is, when we read Scripture, is that in our weakness and in our struggles, we experience God's presence and His power in our lives. And in our troubles, we might forget sometimes that a part of suffering together as believers is the way that those who are suffering can comfort others in deep and unique ways. Ongoing pain and suffering, if we let it, we'll turn our focus inward on ourselves. And sometimes that suffering or that pain can be so constant that it begins to consume and to color everything that we do. And maybe we find ourselves always living in a protective stance, whether that is emotionally or relationally or otherwise. And what we need to do is turn our focus not inward on our own struggle and our own pain, but turn our focus outward. And so the passage that we're looking at today, we're going to read in just a minute, and you can turn there to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just a couple verses. The passage that we're looking at today, in that passage, God reminds us that He uses the grace that we receive in our own suffering and our own pain and our own troubles. He uses that to comfort and encourage other people. There is no suffering that you go through that is ever wasted. If you take notes in your bulletin, I want you to write this down. No suffering that we go through is ever wasted. It draws us closer to God, and it helps us to compassionately care for others. So let me read that again. No suffering that we go through is ever wasted. It draws us closer to God, and it helps us to compassionately care for others. And I think that God beautifully comforts those who are suffering by using fellow sufferers to encourage them. In fact, in this passage that we're reading, Paul is basically saying this is God's plan, one of His plans for our pain and our suffering. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, and here's the phrase I want you to get, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Paul says in this passage that God comforts us in all our troubles. And that word troubles in other versions of the Bible is phrased afflictions. God comforts us in all of our troubles or afflictions. A synonym to that is distress or pressure. So you think all of our troubles, all of our afflictions, all of our distress, all of our pressure, all of our pain, God comforts us in all of our troubles. There is no trouble that we go through, no suffering that we go through that God is unaware of or distant from. God is infinitely interested in the care and comfort of His sons and daughters in all their troubles. Now, notice it doesn't say anything about God's going to spare you from going through troubles. It's just saying when you go through troubles, you need to know that God cares for you and He loves you. So the truth of the matter is, even though it may feel like it sometimes, we are never alone in our suffering. Whatever the pain may be, whatever the loss may be, we are never alone in our suffering. God is a God of compassion, of mercy, and grace. He sees us and he sees what's happening in our lives and he feels deeply about our suffering and our trials. And Paul describes him here as the Father of compassion or the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. It does not say in this passage that he is the cause of our suffering. It says he's the God of compassion and mercy. He feels what we're feeling vicariously. He did that through Jesus on the cross. The word comfort is an interesting word. The Greek word in which the New Testament was written is parakaleo, and it means to come alongside. And so it's like when God comforts us, it's like he's coming alongside of us. It's like you going up to a friend and putting your arm around them and coming alongside of them. God is a God of compassion. He comforts us. But another variation of that word in the Greek language means to call to his side, to call to his side. So it's like a parent whose kid is upset about something, and that parent calls the child, "Here, come here, Johnny," and puts their arm around him and pulls them into his side. That's the picture of God's comfort. He comes alongside. He calls us to his side. He's close beside us to encourage us. How does God comfort us? I mean, you can just say, well, you know, God comforts us in all of our pain, but what does that mean? How does he comfort us? I think, first of all, he comforts us through his Spirit. And interestingly, the name that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit when he's speaking of him in the Gospel of John is the Greek name Paraclete, which comes from that same idea of parakaleo, to come alongside, to comfort. And in the English translation, talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus says that he's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the one that comes alongside. So God comforts us through his Spirit and through his Spirit coming alongside of us. I believe that God comforts us through his Word. Every time, like, if I'm going through a difficult time or I'm struggling with something or there's been disappointment in our life or there's people in our family who are sick or we're going through whatever the issues might be, I open up the Psalms. I probably read the Psalms more than any other portion of Scripture because they speak to human experience and they encourage us. We can go to God's Word and he comforts us through his Word. That's why it's important for us to read the Bible. But I would encourage you, whenever you are going through a really difficult time, to get into the Psalms and read some of those Psalms, because in it, whether it's David or one of the other psalmists, oftentimes what you find is someone just pouring out their heart to God and coming to the realization that he is their strength and he is their help no matter what's going on in their lives. God comforts us through prayer. When we're going through a difficult time or suffering or when things are hard in our life, when we pray, what we're doing when we bring those burdens or those hurts or that suffering to God is we're surrendering that to him. In prayer, we surrender our circumstances to him, and we ask him for peace, and we ask him for strength, and we ask him for comfort, and we ask him for help. So God comforts us through his Spirit, and that's, you know, it's hard to define that, hard to pinpoint that, but if you've had that experience where sometimes you've just felt a wave of peace come over you and you felt that God's Spirit has been present, you know when you experience it that he comforts us through the Comforter. He comforts us through the Word. He comforts us through prayer. But I think most often, God comforts us through others, whether it's family or friends or even strangers. God comforts us through others. And it's interesting that in this passage that we read in 2 Corinthians, it affirms to us that God the Father is the Father of compassion and the God of comfort. It affirms to us that he comforts us in our troubles. But then it takes an interesting turn. There's a reason for all of that. It's not just so that we feel good. It's so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves have received from God. I think that is a profound verse. God comforts us through others. And when God comforts you as an individual basis, there's a purpose in that. And it's not just for your own benefit. Yes, God does care about you, and he cares about the pain that you're going through, but when he comforts you and when he gives you peace, it's not just for your own benefit. If you notice in this passage, God has a purpose for his comfort in our lives. And it kind of becomes like this circle. God comforts us so that we can comfort others, and it kind of works like that, doesn't it? If God comforts me, often it's through someone else, and I in turn can comfort someone else in what they're going through. As we look to God for comfort and hope in our suffering, his intention and his desire is not just to comfort us, but to spur us on to comfort others with the same comfort that we have received from God. God takes our experiences and he uses them to comfort others. So, for example, let's say if I meet someone and they just tell me, or someone that I know in the church loses their job because the company that they work for closed down. I can identify with that because the first full-time job I had right out of college, the company started closing stores, and they closed the store that I was the manager of, and I was out of a job. I had to file for unemployment. So I can identify with someone who goes through that. If I talk to someone who unexpectedly loses a loved one during surgery, I can identify with that because Jenny and I went through that with her dad when he died during open heart surgery at the age of 51. If I meet parents who've lost a teenage or a young adult son to suicide, I can identify with them because my cousin committed suicide when he was 20. And you begin to see how God takes those things that happen in our lives. And I could add to that list almost ad infinitum, a lot of experiences that we've been through. God, in turn, I can talk to someone. I can say with some degree of certainty to someone, I know how you feel because I've been through that. Now, don't ever say to somebody, yeah, I know how you feel, when you don't. You know, I think that's a common thing. You know, I'm really sorry you're going through this. I know how you feel, brother. Everything's going to be fine. Well, you don't know how they feel unless you've walked in their shoes and been there and done that. But probably in all of our lives, we can think of experiences that we have been through that God can use then to be an encouragement and a comfort to other people. There's someone, and I didn't ask permission of this person, and he's probably sitting out in the lobby listening to me now. There's someone in our church who, for me, has been a great example of that, and that's Gary Leathers. I don't know how many years ago did Gary have his bypass surgery? 12? Oh my, I was thinking 8 years ago. Time flies when you're having fun. 12 years ago, Gary Leathers had open heart surgery, and did he have 5 or 6 bypasses? Okay, so he had quadruple bypass open heart surgery. In the months that followed that, he went through a long time of heart rehab, and I started noticing something about Gary. Some of the things I observed and some of the things I heard about. For example, I would go to the hospital to pray with someone in our church who was having surgery, and Gary was there. Gary was there with them, and he would sit out in the waiting room with them. There was one time when Walt was there. I can't even remember who. I think it was when Jackie was in the hospital and was in critical condition. And I get up to the hospital, and there Obviously, Gary was there, but there was Walt and Nancy Babcock and Rick and Eva Spears and Rod and Rosita Langford. I'm not sure. I think Larry and Jen Billups may have been there. There was a group of people from the church, and in some way or another, all of them could identify to some degree of what Jackie was going through, but what Gary was going through there. And then I learned that Gary would go back to the Heart Rehab Center just to visit. Not for rehab, not for therapy, but to say hi or to encourage people. And he devoted a lot of his time, the last years of Jackie's mom's life, Gary was over there doing for her. And I think that a big reason for that, I mean, it may just be that he's really big-hearted, but I really think that what was underlying all of that was he'd been through something really serious. He'd been through something where he had to completely put his life in God's hands because you didn't know what was going to happen. And because of what he went through, he in turn could encourage others. Out of his personal experience, he could encourage and comfort others who were going through a hard time. He could say, I've been there. And I think that's what this passage is all about. God comforts us so that we can comfort others. And if you're looking for any purpose in your suffering, and I think sometimes, you know, we can drive ourselves crazy trying to find some reason. Why did God let this happen? I think that's a question you just have to put to rest because you don't always know. But if you want to find one purpose in what you have gone through in your suffering, this may be it. God has seen you through that and given you strength and comforted you so that you can comfort others. And there is purpose in some of those things that seem completely meaningless or purposeless that we go through, so that God can help us to comfort someone else. I think God grants us mercy so that we can be merciful to others. You know, I think about how patient God has been with me down through my life, and, you know, I have absolutely no reason not to be patient with other people because God has been patient with me. God extends mercy to us over and over again so that we can be merciful to others. God stands wholeheartedly with us through his Spirit, the Comforter. He stands beside us. He comes alongside us in our suffering so that we too can stand wholeheartedly with others who are suffering. God comes alongside of us with his Spirit. We can come alongside other people who are going through suffering and pain and trouble in their life. We may not have the answers. We may not even have anything to say, but we can stand there with them. God never leaves us alone in our suffering, so that we won't leave others alone in theirs. We need to be there for people in their suffering. Everything we suffer, all the pain that we go through, all of our troubles, all of that empowers us to be compassionate toward others, to comfort others, and to help others. The best qualified people to help someone who is suffering are those who have passed through similar ordeals in their own lives. And I think suffering gives us a sense of wisdom and gives us compassion. And you think about it, sometimes we suffer because of the consequences of poor choices that we have made. And we can use that as an opportunity to help other people make good choices and to learn from our mistakes. We can lift up a voice of warning against addiction or abuse or impulsiveness or crime or a variety of other bad choices. And we can speak from our own experience when we've suffered because of the choices that we have made. And we can influence others to avoid making those same mistakes. But at the bottom line is this. Our pain, whatever the source, helps us to be more compassionate and tender-hearted toward others who suffer. And maybe I should rephrase that. Our pain, whatever the source, should help us to be more compassionate and tender-hearted toward others who suffer. And that, in turn, often leads to some of the most joyous and satisfying relationships in our lives, where we come alongside someone who is going through a difficult time, and we stand with them, and we identify with them, and we comfort them. and that relationship, you can probably think to situations in your life where you have loved and encouraged and stood by someone who's going through a very painful and difficult time, and you realize that that relationship becomes so much closer because you were sharing in their suffering with them. I mean, honestly, our natural tendency as human beings is to shun suffering, to shun pain and trouble, and if we're honest, probably to feel sorry for ourselves when it comes into our lives. But here's the beautiful thing. Suffering drives us into God's arms, it enfolds us in God's comfort, and it helps us to compassionately comfort others. Charles Spurgeon was probably the greatest or most well-known famous preacher in the 1800s. He was the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London for 37 years. He preached to tens of thousands of people. He wrote prolifically. But his life was not free from pain. And he suffered from depression and physical ailments all through his life. And he died when he was only 57. He was like John Wesley was to the 1700s and Billy Graham was to the 1900s. Charles Spurgeon was had an incredible ministry. But he suffered. And I came across a quote of his that I want to close with this morning. Charles Spurgeon said it well when he encouraged us to look to God in our pain. And I love this. I'm gonna write it on something and put it on a T-shirt or something. I mean, and this sounds really contemporary, not like somebody who's in the 1800s. I love it. I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. I have learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. You think about the storms in life. And real storms, the waves just pound against the rocks, and they pound against the rocks, and eventually they make them smooth from their consistent pounding. And we don't like the waves, and we don't like the storms, and we don't like the pounding. I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. I think I might get a T-shirt that just says, "Kiss the wave." And then... yeah, maybe I'll wear it next week. And so that when somebody asks me, "What in the world does that mean?" I say, "Yeah, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." In other words, we embrace the suffering that pulls us to God, and then we use that to encourage and to comfort others. I doubt. I mean, some of you maybe have. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Some of you have probably lived the ultimately blessed life, and you've never been through a trial, and you've never had a difficulty, and you've never experienced pain, and you've never suffered, and you've never been disappointed, and you've never been hurt. Don't raise it. I mean, let's face it. Every single one of us have been through some kind of struggle, some kind of trouble, some kind of affliction, some kind of suffering, some kind of pain. There's an expression that's called the wounded healers, which means that when we've been wounded, when we've been hurt, when we've gone through suffering, when we've experienced pain, God can use us to bring healing and comfort to others. And it's my desire that I'll be that way and not just like, you know, "Oh, this person's going through a bad time, too bad, that's life." And it's easy to become kind of jaded and just say, "Oh, well, everybody suffers, and so what? Get over it." That's not what Paul says here. It says the God of comfort comforts us with all comfort so that we can comfort others with the same comfort that we've received. Let's pray together. Lord, I confess that I don't like pain. I don't like sickness. I don't like struggles. I don't like disappointment. I don't like hurt. I don't like strained relationships. But you can take all those things that I want to shun and push away, and you can take them to shape me into a person that trusts you more and embraces what you lead me through. And my prayer is that you will make me and make all of us more compassionate toward those who are going through struggles and difficult times, who are going through affliction and trouble and suffering and pain, that you will help me and that you will help all of us to be compassionate and to be caring, to show the love of Christ to others. And that you will take maybe those things that some of us are going through right now that it feels so difficult and the pain is so great and the struggle is so great, that you will take those things and shape our lives to better reflect you, and then use us to be an encouragement and a blessing and a comfort to others. We pray these things in your name. Amen.